welcome you in the name of the Lord. I'm going to preach today, and that is going to be the way. I thought I saw some visitors come in, so welcome. Garage sale coming soon, Friday, August 2nd. So I presume next weekend already start bringing goods, you know. Okay. VBS one-day event, July 31st. The new church pictorial directories are out there. If you didn't get yours, they should be on the table. Otherwise, anything I'm missing?
Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of the temple.
As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and the city of our God is holy mountain.
Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress.
Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgment.
This is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple.
As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness.
Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest.
It will swirl down on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man ride himself in a hiding place? Can I, so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets had said, who prophesied falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long? Is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood? Even these prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make people forget my name by their dream, which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal. The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? Is it not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson for today is taken from Romans chapter 8. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them
may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Repeat the following Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Part of it, and it's very meaningful to us as we are building our lives and homes on Christ. Is the theme. And as we are driving into Lebanon this morning, just on the edge, Elvis Presley, some of you remember him, was on singing, "In My Father's House Are Many Mansions." And it fit right in. And then when I got here, I heard that the young Glendenning family had lost their business totally by fire. And again, it brought the whole thing back to me, what it's all about. If we don't build our lives and hope on Christ, what do we really have in this world that we can hold on to? Christ Jesus is the answer. He is the rock, the solid foundation. And we have learned already that our lives don't come about just by accident. If we're lucky, we have a good, prosperous life, and otherwise, we got a bad lot in life. It means we have to work hard at who we are and what we are doing. We must be training up our family in the way of the Lord so we can stand against the trials and tribulations that are going to come. God guarantees they're going to come. Not if they come. And we need to build that foundation, that blueprint for building. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about in our text for today. This was the last part of the Sermon on the Mount. You find that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus talked to the disciples about building a life. And how to build it. He was standing on a mountaintop, and I remember from our trip to Israel, the places that meant to most to me were not Jerusalem, beautiful Jerusalem, the city with the wall around it, and you can go there and they'll show you where Jesus was buried, they say, and where the upper room was. Everything's been rebuilt, I don't know how many times, but there were a couple places that had not changed. The one was the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane. The same olive tree, some of them there more than 2,000 years old. The same trees were there when Jesus bowed down and said, "Not my will, but thine be done." But the other place I remember very clearly was being tore me up, being on top of that mountain when we had our trip to the Holy Land, and out of the clear blue, the leader said, "Pastor Cotton, I want you to read the first part of the Sermon on the Mount." And for some reason, it got to me. This is where Jesus stood and preached the Sermon on the Mount, and to feel unworthy to speak the words where Jesus spoke. But in that Sermon on the Mount, he gathered them and he taught them so many lessons about life, what it's all about the government, about parents, about children, about prayer. That's where he taught the Lord's Prayer. So many things he was teaching about. But said there's no easy way to do it. There's no easy way to build a life. You have to work at it. 10 years ago, the Portals of Prayer had a prayer in for a Friday morning that started out with, "Work is the curse of sin." And I got my telephone and I called Concordia Publishing House and asked to speak to the Portals of Prayer department. And I said, "Wait a minute. What is it? What are you talking about?" I said, "In this prayer, work is not because of sin. Work was there for Adam and Eve to take care of the garden and name all the animals. Work is part of our life. Had I not had work here at Lebanon, and I retired this starting my 20th year, And the pastor up there didn't want me around, and I got the chance to serve here. If I hadn't had that chance, I'd probably be dead and buried long ago. Now, this is what life is all about. Working for the Lord. We build our lives by working hard, and we build on this solid foundation, and that's what Jesus is trying to show us. So many people want to build their lives on sand. Judy was telling me about the Florida, she's walking on the sand. We want to build a house there. The foundation. No foundation there, but so many in life want to build their life the easy way. They want to make the fast dollar and always want to reach for something more. Got a nice car, but want a nicer car. Got a big boat, want a bigger boat. Got a nice home, want a bigger home. And that's the way it is in the world today. Reaching out and grasping and never being satisfied. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he said, that's building your house upon the sand. It's not just the rich people do that. The penniless beggar. I don't know how many times I've ever heard people say, if I win the lottery, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And I've told you before, I think, I'm probably the only one that's really won the lottery every time I bought a ticket I won. But I never did buy a ticket. But in the Philippines, they had the lottery almost 65 years ago we went over there. I would see these people that didn't have enough money to buy rice for dinner, but they would put their last centavos to buy one of those tickets at the lottery. And they never win, but that's building the house upon the sand. I'm going to go the quick way, the easy way, and I'm going to make it, and I'm going to be big in this world. But that's exactly what Jesus is trying to teach us. If we build our house on things, it's not going to stand. If we build it on our self-righteousness, it's not going to stand. We can think we're righteous. We can be like the Pharisee. Lord, I thank you, not like other men out there, like this poor publican here. Bow down and pray to you, Lord. I thank you. We can be that way, but sooner or later, it's going to hit us. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Our own righteousness will not stand before God, but the Bible tells us all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. When we look around us and we see the wicked prosper, remember the psalmist Asaph? He said, when I looked around in the world and saw the prosperity of the wicked, I almost lost my faith. Because I've been sick and my enemy is on me all the time, all the thing. But he said, then I saw their end and I knew what it was all about. Because their end is destruction. So we're going to have trials and tribulations. We're going to have backsets. The young Glenn Emmons know that now. But I'm sure they know that God's going to see them through and he's going to get them around this and life's going to go on. Because our life isn't based on things. It's based on Jesus, his blood and righteousness. All other ground is sinking sand. But how we need it today? Because we never know what's going to happen. Years ago, somebody nobody heard about, when I was in Jonesburg as a pastor, there was a man named Jimmy Hoffa. His daughter and son-in-law had a big ranch just outside of town, a beautiful lake, and one of my church members was a caretaker. So he got me permission to go there and fish whenever I wanted. and the place where Jimmy Hoffa loved to go. And those of you never heard of him, he disappeared, the big labor leader. And the week he disappeared, I ran into his wife and daughter that used to come to church once in a while, not very often, but once in a while, and I was giving them condolences about, but what could I really tell them? That trust in the Lord, see you through. And Barbara, the daughter, said, "My father always taught us to be strong." But in what? See, this was the problem. He didn't tell them what to be strong in. And this is what it's all about, our lives. Be strong in Christ Jesus. Build upon that foundation of the one who loved us enough to die for us. Because these words he gives us in our text, the ones, therefore the man who builds his house upon a rock is the wise man. The rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. That's the only thing we can build on. Because we didn't do anything to earn our salvation. We don't deserve anything but death and damnation. But the Lord loved us and chose us. The Holy Spirit called us by the gospel. He enlightens us daily with his gifts. And he holds us fast in that Christian faith through the word. And that's the joy that we have. That's the real message, the climax of the word of God. That God was in Christ, reconciling the word to himself. That God didn't come down to say, I know you sinned. That's what some people said. Why didn't God in the Garden of Eden say to Adam and Eve, I know, you didn't mean to do it. We'll forget about it this one time and we just go ahead. How come God didn't do that? Because he couldn't. He would be a liar. He said, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. The hard, straight facts of the gospel, and we deserve nothing. But Christ Jesus came and didn't say he'd overlook our sins, but instead he took the road to the cross. He went to Calvary. He suffered and died. When he was tempted to turn aside by the devil in the wilderness, he always answered with the word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. And in Gethsemane, where he said, Father, if there's another way to get him to heaven, let it be another way. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And when he found out there was no other way, he said, thy will be done. And so he teaches us in our lives, as so often. We can ask God for anything we want to, and we are supposed to ask him for anything we want to, and everything we need to come crying out him over and over and never to stop unless he tells us no. Keep praying is what he tells us, to keep reaching out, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he will keep us in the faith. And he's going to see us through the trials and the tribulations. He died for us and rose again. He forgives us all those sins of weaknesses, those sins that we didn't mean to commit. And he forgives us even the sins that we willfully committed as we come to him in penitence. But that's what it's all about. The house built upon Christ is not a house of holy people. It's not a museum of saints and saints only. It's a museum of sinners. Sinners. It's more like a sanitarium. That's what it's about, to be in the Christian faith. We're in the sanitarium, or we're the diabetic that needs that insulin every day, because we need this every day in Jesus Christ. Because we never know what's going to happen in the world today or tomorrow. As we saw in just within the last week, where a presidential candidate was shot where they tried to assassinate. And these things are happening in the world around us every day. And we never know what day it's going to hit upon our doorstep. So we need to build that house firmly on the rock. Stay in the Word. Read the Word. Hear the Word. Study the Word. And speak the words to your neighbor, your fellow man, to show them the only way is through Christ and Him alone. In the Christian home, I've said this so many times, it's where the husband doesn't just tolerate the wife. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and actually gave His life for the church. Love your husband, said the wives, as the helpmeet that God has given. And to parents, train up your children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. He doesn't say never, never, because we all know from experience that our children don't always go the way we train them. But hopefully someday they will come back to that teaching like the prodigal son and realize that without Christ we have nothing. But we must build our house, build our homes day by day, build our families on Christ, and go forward in this life never knowing what's going to happen today or tomorrow, never knowing what sickness might befall us or our loved ones, what accidents might happen. But as we go through life day by day in the shadow of the cross with Jesus by our side, He says, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world." So it doesn't matter if we lose our life, our home, our livelihood, everything else, we have Jesus. "In my Father's house are many mansions," He said. "If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to take you myself." Amen. Now may that wonderful peace with God that we have through forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus hold us steadfast in the faith unto life everlasting. We have the gospel.
Let us pray. Oh Jesus, you have purchased and obtained us as your flock by the shedding of your blood. Keep your sheep from your arrogance, from short-sightedness, from the many wolves that prowl and seek our horn. Shepherd us continually by your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, keep us from false comfort of worldly wisdom, that we may rely upon your truth as our rock and foundation, and the shifting sand of doubt and fear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, fill our governing authorities with fear of you, and let their service foster and preserve peace. Have mercy on our people and country. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, give us a hunger and thirst for you, for your word and love,
for our fellow Christians in this church. Make us ever stronger as a gathering of believers through the mutual encouragement of the saints. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you are a fortress to your people. Hear us on behalf of all, and healing and strength and comfort, especially with the family of Jack and the Vicky Blendon for the loss of their job security. Please be with them, Lord. Assure them that you are there to help them through this, and that following your word is the real way. We also pray, Lord, for those that are ill, for Jean Perry, Lady, Natalie, Linda Stewart, Cheryl, Glenn Denning, Sandy Meyer, Lewis Smith, Joshua. We pray for those, Lord, that are the shut-ins in our community, in our church. Give them a special belief, Lord, that we as church members do think of them and pray of them. We pray also, Lord, for those that are in our military. Be with them and keep them safe, O Lord. Give them strength each day by your word. Defend them from the attacks of the evil one, and bring joy to their hearts and healing in their body. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and say,
Lord to the disciples and said, "Take ye, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, and all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Again, I do the easy part. I get to preach. He's got to do all the hard